Blog Talk Radio.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you want to be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, oh, oh girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
We're new to this. What is this Real Talk for Real People show all about? It's about the most important relationship that you should ever have in your life, truth be told. It's about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. It's not giving you a laser focus, skip to the loo, and just be have blinders on of your studies. But it's giving you a bird's eye view, a critical analysis and assessment, leaving no stone and leaf unturned, and crossing every T and dotting every I, and getting to the core of the matter about this Most High, this Almighty Yah. And surely, as I said, he knew you before your parents knew you. Should you restore or establish a proper relationship with him? Everything in life is codified. And certainly, the Most High and your relationship with him should be codified too. I know some of you, because of religion, have been taught to just come as you are and you don't have to do anything else. That would be a foolhardy pursuit if you did such a thing. It's an act of pure madness. Pure madness. I'm so excited about today. Well, actually, I'm excited about the Most High Word all the time. But this chapter in particular, the Most High has shown a different dynamic of us, of individuals in our nation. And although we were in tribes in Israel and the three tribes in Yehuda, there were some among us were doing something quite different. Obviously, it suggests, infer, and implied that they had made a vow to the Most High. And they were men of integrity and honor. You will see this in this study. That's why we give you these studies. Not for a warm, fuzzy feeling, simply to say, I'm a Hebrew Israelite. I can come as I am. I ain't got to do nothing else. And I can make up stuff along the way. It will be foolhardy, too. We suggest and we plead with you. Do not take the Most High lightly. He's not your tickle me Elmo. He's certainly not a genie in the lamp that you can rub on and call him out. You got to do this, and I want you to do that. I want that. I want three wishes. You might not like what you get, certainly if you're not codified. And you may be asking, young Sufa Arif, I'm hearing you said the we. Who is the we? Well, we have students that are lead students in our study. You see, all of us are students of the Most High. And it doesn't stop until your casket or my casket drops. And then after that, if I'm restored, just like King David, if you're restored, just like King David. So, who are the we I'm making reference to? Well, we have Sister Abby out from New York City. You see, because we're elders, and sometimes we drift off the reservation and we digress and we go into tangents. And she had to say, hey, young soup, you're off the marker. You're supposed to be over here. No, you're not over there. And then we have Sister Yehudi from Detroit, Michigan. Sister Yehudi, have a unique way of expressing her perspectives with the Most High in regards, using him as the template, as we all should. And using her life or her observation and coming to the right analysis. Then we have Cartrell from New York City. Cartrell has been studying the Most High Word for quite a long time. He loves the Psalms like we all love the Psalms, which he will be getting into later on in the next segment of study. See, these Psalms, these enlightenment have helped Cartrell conquer his fear of heights. Had him when he was feeling down and low when he was 14 years old. See, he speaks when he talks about the Most High from his experience and observation. And he's very detail-orientated in regards to the Most High. Yeah, we got all hands on deck. And we all love the Most High. We all try to do the best we can with what we have. We try to unify and work together in that prospect. Why? Because we know not one of us or any special than the other in the eyes of the Most High. And we treat each other with common courtesy, as the Most High would have all of us do in regards to this nation. We don't cuss and fuss and fight one another. We don't name call or none of that. And we don't do that with anyone else in that regard. We just try to get the Most High message across. If you don't like it, we say, Take it up with the Most High. We ain't got time for the other stuff. So let me introduce them to you. Sister Abigail from New York City. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, family. All praises to the Holy One of Israel, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And may he bless us all continuously. And it's so good to be back.
In the door, sister. Praise Yah.
It is.
Thank you, sister. And now, Sister Yehudi from Detroit, Michigan. Sister Yehudi, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is high. Shalom.
Hallelujah. I say it's a great day.
It certainly is.
Because we have breath in our body, and we're able to speak the word, speak it in truth, and be humble enough to be corrected. So I thank the Most High. And after that, to get all introduced, I have a special announcement that I think you would want to hear.
Yes, ma'am. By all means.
Okay. All right. I'm done.
Okay. All right.
Kind of wait to talk to everybody be on the line. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sister. Mm-hmm. God, trail, right. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot, brother. Shalom.
Shalom, family. Bless Yah, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless this holy day. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Israel, God of our ancient fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's good to be back. Good to hear y'all's voices. How y'all doing?
You doing okay,
all right.
Brother.
Good to hear you, brother.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I just wanted to say, talking about the details I bring, I noticed that you stopped bringing them current events, but this current event's going on right now that we should be paying attention to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like the Queen of England and its Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right.
Where did they get that word from, Jubilee? Don't they come from our nation?
Exactly.
Every 50 years, we have a Jubilee. And what does that mean? It don't mean we celebrate King David or the throne of King David or the kings of the nation. It means that all that are slaves go free. And it means that your debt is released. That's what Jubilee really means. So
exactly.
We see them talking about the Jubilee in England. And they call the Queen of England and England a commonwealth. Well, they sure ain't sharing the wealth with the common people, are they?
The poor people are paying them.
Yeah, you better believe it. Commonwealth. All y'all wealth is commonly going to me. Commonwealth.
All right.
Listen, you got to watch them. They got forked tongue. They say one thing and they mean a whole something different. Right? Commonwealth? Who's getting the wealth? The people of England or the Queen?
The Queen. And then
we got the... Go ahead.
Yeah, Katja. They love to play on words. They're good wordsmiths at deception. Coming, all y'all comers, money is to me, and I want to be wealthy. That's versus what she's saying. All you commoners are coming, and I'm going to get all y'all wealthy.
They're happy about it.
Yeah. So let me turn your attention to the baby formula situation.
Right.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
That's the hand of the Most High. Guess what?
What?
He wants the daughters of Zion to have infants to feed their infants breast milk.
Exactly.
Being that there's a shortage, there's always an alternative. And that breast milk is right there. Right? Always. Mm-hmm. If you have a baby, you naturally have to have breast milk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But the system has taught us we need formula, Infamil, Similac. Really? Do we really need that?
Now they're in a false misnomer, a false fear factor. If you do what the Most High tell you, you wouldn't have the fear of these people trying to impose upon you. It's false fear factor. But here's the problem.
They show pictures where our sisters were feeding white babies their breast milk in slavery camps.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Y'all seen those pictures, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That breast milk is better than the vaccine that they're trying to give out. Because the vaccine is just like the formula.
Exactly. Well, Gautier,
so I just wanted to say. Go ahead.
I don't trust him, Gautier. My wife had ordered some test kits. I said, I don't mean no harm. I don't trust him like that. I said, they gave Native Americans blankets with smallpox and syphilis to. See, you forget these people. You want to forgive them. You want to love them so much. And you're quick to forgive them and forget their history, their coming with history against us. But now, you don't want to forgive us. You don't want to turn the other cheek with us. I kill that nigga. I kill that heifer, a B word. But now, for us, the history context of our enemies, you want to forget all the stuff they did. You don't think for 1 minute they could take one of them little things they tell you, put up your nostrils and have it infected? Come on, man. Yum soup ain't no food, okay? Yum soup didn't just fall off the potato boat yesterday, okay?
And so far as the Blog Talk, Real Talk, for Real People show is concerned, we are studying what universal white racist supremacy will not teach our people.
Mm-hmm. No.
And everybody got the book in their house, so I'm just opening up the book and showing you what the Most High said.
That's all.
Because universal white racist supremacy don't know y'all, don't understand y'all, can't relate to y'all, they don't teach it. They tell you that King Solomon is the wisest man that ever lived, but they tell you about Plato and Socrates and Aristotle. Where's the teaching for King Solomon? If he's the wisest man to ever live. And everybody know he's the wisest man to ever live. So let's have a class on King Solomon and what he taught, his wisdom. Right? That's what we're doing.
Sir,
right? With the Psalms and the Proverbs.
So we should be doing.
What our king said.
Go ahead, brother. And so we should be.
Yeah, so we're so disconnected from our history, our past. When we say we need to apologize for what our fathers did, that's like foreign to us. It's like you're talking UFO and aliens. That's how far away we are from our history. But as we read from Genesis to Malachi, we realize our ancient kings, the last king we're reading about, King Zedekiah, they did not listen to Yah. They did not follow the codifications. They leaned upon their own understanding. And as a result, we in the bag, in the trick bag that we're in right now, because Yah unleashes anger on us as a nation because of our kings.
Exactly.
And the people follow the kings, right?
Exactly.
This is not what I was going to say, but since we're a little bit on current events, you heard about it was the man that was upset because he was still in pain after the doctor operated on him, and he shot the doctor, another doctor, a person who worked in the office, and a patient, and he shot himself. And that was both
of
them.
So, I finally saw the picture of him. The man looked like he was mentally challenged. Something is wrong with him. I posted a picture up on my wall on Facebook today.
Mm-hmm.
But he looked like he was sick in the head.
Right. He tells me he has a problem.
Well, I assure you, if you're not righteous according to the Most High, all of us are short in the head, truth be told.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
be that it is made. Let me bring on Ema.
He is on. I was
going to
say
a
special prayer.
Ema Adora, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot, Ma.
Shalom, shalom, family. May Yah bless us all, especially during these trying times. It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. Let us all keep him on our lips. Keep him in our heart. Let us pray nonstop, continually, asking the Almighty to open our people's eyes and their ears and let them be attentive to the word of their God, letting go of the teachings of man so that they can know that their only salvation rests in and their deliverance rests in the hands of Yahuwah, not man. And until we do what he said he's going to do, he told us to do, he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And that is he's going to return to his place and wait until we acknowledge our offense. The same thing that we just play down so easily. Murray, I'm there with you. I was, as a matter of fact, I've been a little outraged. You know that here's a woman, an old woman, white woman at that. If they say that they are celebrating her for her 70-year reign, and her claim is that she's of the house of Yehuda, of the house of Judah. And as far as the eye can see, people line up for 4 days in tents so that they could be there for the parade as she was passing by. And the people look like ants, but you could see them waving the flag of Great Britain. And you could see the flavor, because we was all dotted up in there as well. You know, all they did everything to celebrate this old white woman, talking about her royalty. And yet, the Most High God, God Almighty, only thing we can give him is a bunch of excuses and arrogance. She's claiming our heritage. And the people are coming out celebrating flesh. But the Most High God can't get it. Help me with this, Murray. I need help. I need help to understand.
Well, Imam, she is not the royal house of Yehuda.
Correct.
And the fact that Jewish people are not in an uproar, the fact that Jewish people are not in an uproar, she's talking about she's in the royal seat of the house of Judah. What are the Jewish people saying? They ain't saying nothing, are they?
Nope.
Because the heritage doesn't really belong to them. The heritage doesn't really belong to them.
I've taken a little bit deeper than that, Murray, and you forgive me because I'm a nitpicker. I would like to pick at things, and I pick at our truth. She's not claiming the royal house of Yehuda. She's claiming the royal house of Judah. And the Jews, out of that's between them. But because our people are still asleep and don't know the difference between the imposter and their reality, yet they outbring the imposter that has stolen their history through a lie. It's a lie. And they out there strong. While we, as Young Sue said, we over here, we party and niggas this, and we can turn another cheek for everybody but ourselves. Only thing we can turn our cheek for is a bullet, to receive a bullet from our brother. Huh?
Yes, so the Most High said that we would be in a situation, and we are in a situation. Not only has Edom taken our identity, but we see that the Europeans have taken our identity too. And the fact that they've taken our identity, used our identity, used our powers, it gave them world powers. So imagine when we take our powers back. Yah said you would be the head and not the tail. So they're the head using our substance. And that's the only way they could be the head.
Well, the only thing that brings me comfort is that it's going to take a miracle. And when they see this, they'll know there is a God. Because outside of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, they stood up an exceedingly great army. But when they stood up, what was the first thing out of their mouth? Our bones are very dry, and our hope is lost.
So y'all heard your voice, Nima. Because he's waking us up. He's bringing the bones together. Yep. And your lament is that we still don't understand. And we don't. Until Yah does the miraculous thing. Because that's what Yah does. He puts us in impossible situations so that what? He could be magnified. Not us. He could be magnified. I made you the tail so I could show the world. So I could bring you from the tail to the head. And that's what Yah is going to do. Just like he did for Pharaoh. Who's this God you're talking about, Moses? We don't know him. But at the end of your deal, guess what Pharaoh said? Your God is God. And tell him to bless you also. And all the nations of the earth will be saying the same thing that Pharaoh said. Your God is God. And tell him to bless us also. So we see that Most High has unleashed judgment in the earth. And he's unleashed the evil on the Gentiles. This plague of mass shootings. Do you know there has been 20 mass shootings in 8 days?
Mm-hmm.
20 mass shootings in 8 days. That's worse than COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And how do they stop it? They can't stop it because they're fearful. They live by the sword. You ain't getting rid of their guns. And guess what? Because you ain't getting rid of their guns, they're going to die by their guns.
Well, let us live by the word of the Most High. Okay? Let us live by the word of the Most High. So let me implore each of you. We know what's going to happen to them people. But we need to know what's going to happen to us. We need to know about us. We can talk about those folks all day long. But it doesn't matter because it doesn't mean nothing at the end of the day. Let's talk about the Most High. Let's talk about our ancestors. Let's talk about us. Jeremiah chapter 35. This is very, I'm so happy about this chapter because it gives you a different perspective of us. And not all of us did everything identical by just hanging out with your tribe and so on and so forth. But even that being said, not all of us were liars. Not men of honor and integrity or women of honor and integrity. When they gave their vows, they kept their vows. And they were rewarded for doing so. We're going to find that out about a house. And this chapter is so exciting. And I'm going to point out some things to you. Praise the Most High. Bless his holy name. Let's learn about us. The obedience of the Rechabites. Chapter 35. Jeremiah, praise Yah. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Elohim in the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judea, saying, go to the house of the Rechabites. Let me tell you something about it. Let me give you some idea of who we're talking about. The Rechabites were separatists who refused to participate in agriculture, pursuits, drink wine, or engage in any other practices associated with the Canaanites, believing that the semi-nomadic way that they were living, way of life, was a obligation, a vow. They herded their flocks over much of Israel and Yehuda. They had access to both nations, the 10 tribes and the 3 tribes. And they loved the Most High. See, sometimes I can walk left and Cottrell can walk right. But long as the primary guideline we're going by is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Cottrell said, well, my family's going to live over there. Yamsu said, hey, my family, but I'm not going to do all that stuff. But as long as I'm doing everything to the Most High, I said, I can make any vow I want to the Most High. Let's see. Speak to them. Bring them into the house of the Elohim, the temple. They testing. Yah is testing them before the nation. Into one of the chambers and give them wine to drink. Now, you know they say, I ain't drinking no wine. They were men of integrity as far as Yah is concerned. And we need to be very much like these Rechabites. They were men and women of integrity.
So, Yah, I'm saying.
Yes.
When they made the vow not to drink wine, it was like on the level of a Nazirite.
Exactly.
Because a Nazirite that takes a vow to the Most High can't eat or drink anything from the vine. And we know that wine comes from the vine. So the Most High didn't command them to drink wine.
Exactly.
He's testing them to see if they're going to live up to their vow.
Exactly.
And that's what he also, Most High going to test you to see if you live up to your vow. What vow you make it to Yah? I'm going to serve Yah. I'm going to give up this. I'm going to give up that. Yah going to test you.
Exactly.
And the church tells you you can't drink wine and this and that. No, Most High say you can't drink wine. There's a time for wine, and there's a time not to drink wine.
Exactly.
But these men committed themselves not to drink wine at all in their families. And they were like practically living off the grid because they wasn't living in the cities. They was living in the fields.
Right. In their tents. They were nomadic, semi-nomadic. Thank you, Gadriel, for enlightening the people further on that. Thank you very much. And let's see what else it says in regards to them. Then Zoniah, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Habaniah, his brothers, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them to the house of the Elohim, into the chamber of the sons of Hanun, the sons of Ichdoliah, a man of Yah, which was by the chamber of the princesses, above the chamber of Mazariah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. He's very specific. And I set them before the sons of the house of the Rechabites, bowls full of wine and cups. I said to them, drink wine. But they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechabite, our father, commanded us. See, we can't. I wish we were so much like these people. He commanded his historical house what to do in this vow. Not only to him, to everyone else. And they kept, imagine that. The women keeping the vows, the men keeping the vows, the children. We can't get each other to do nothing in our own household sometimes because we are so uncodified. So it's all about me, of something special. Can't do nothing together. And when we try to come together in an uncodified manner, it's going to be some flashing blue and white lights and some fluttering of yellow tape. You better believe it. How much, so much hate, so much lack of control. You should drink no wine. And not your sons forever. You should not build houses. Sow seed. Plant a vineyard. Nor have any of these. But all your days you should dwell in tents, as I say it. A semi-nomadic way of living. That you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father. And all that he charged us to drink no wine all of our days, we, our wives, our sons, our daughters, nor to build ourselves houses to dwell in, nor do we have vineyards, fields, or seed. But we have dwelt in tents and obeyed and have done according to all Jonadab, our fathers, commanded us. But it came to pass. We had to change this up, and this is the reason why. For us, now, not the wine drinking, not the agriculture thing, but the reason why we are here where we're here now, because it came to pass. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land. That we said, come, let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So that's why we're here now. That's the only reason why we're here. It's because of them. So we dwell at Jerusalem. And then came the word of Elohim to Jeremiah, saying, thus said the Yah of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, go to the men of Yehuda and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Will you not receive instructions to obey my words, says the Elohim? The words of Jonadab, Now, he makes a comparison. Now, won't you hear me? But the words of Jonah there, me and over Yah is what y'all doing. But in the case of Jonah there, it's a good thing. It's a vow for goodness. But y'all don't even want to hear me. Y'all rather hear men over me. The words of Jonah there, the son of Rechab, which he commanded, let me show y'all something, which he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. But to this day, they drink none and obey their father's commandments. But although I have spoken to y'all, says, rising early and speaking, you did not obey me. I've also sent to you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, turn now everyone from his evil way, everyone, amend your doings, change up, and do not go after the gods to serve them, like we're still doing. Then you will dwell in the land, our land, which I have given you and your fathers. But you have not inclined your ear, nor obeyed me. That's why we say, oh, yeah. Surely, let me tell you about the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rishtat, have performed the commandment of their father in their vow, which he commanded them. But this people, on the other hand, look at them. They obeyed Jonadab, the son of Rishtat. But you, on the other hand, you won't even listen to me. And I applaud them. Performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them. But this people, y'all, has not obeyed me.
So y'all too.
Yes.
What parallel is y'all trying to make?
Y'all saying basic content.
They don't obey.
And he's right. Our father, and our children should listen to their father, right?
Exactly. Right.
Especially oaths that they make. You talking about an oath that a father made for his sons. None of y'all going to drink wine. I don't care what nobody say. We, our family, the Rockabites, we have sworn, number one, we're not going to drink wine. Number two, we're going to live in tents. Why are we going to live in tents? Because we have that much trust in Yah. We ain't going to sow seeds. We're not going to grow in Yah. We put our trust in the Most High. That's why Yah is using them as an example, because they have so much trust in Yah. They lived up to their vows and their integrity, you know, that they swore, and they haven't changed. The only reason they're in Jerusalem is for protection against the invading armies.
And again, what he says in addition to that, Katya Imadora, is this. Now, these men know how to obey orders, to listen to the commands of their father. Y'all don't know how to do that. They're listening to the commands of men, which is, it's important when it comes to this nation. But much more important is the commands of Yah. And he commend them for their endeavors to listen to their fathers, the commands of their fathers. And it shows a case of obedience. They know how to be humble and know how to be obedient and follow orders. We don't know how to be humble and obedient and follow orders of man nor Yah. And as far as that, but the only reason why we follow orders now in this universal white race is because you know they'll get at us. But if they didn't get at us, oh, we'll still be doing talk crazy like we talk to each other. Believe it.
So y'all see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What you see in the Rechabite family, right?
Right.
They made a vow that Yah did not require them to make. They went above and beyond what Yah required every other tribe to do. He didn't tell us not to drink wine. He didn't tell us to dwell in tents. But they took the vow. This is what we're going to do for you, Yah, in our service to you. We're not going to drink wine, and we're not going to be city people. We're going to dwell in tents. We're going to be off the grid. And Yah tested them. Oh, y'all swore that? Let me see if y'all going to keep that word that you swore, that your father swore, because he ain't on the scene no more. You're talking about his sons being loyal to the vow that their father made to the Most High.
That's
you know, I kind of think of the same thing in Malachi. Didn't Almighty say a son honors his father?
Exactly.
Or a servant his
sister. If I'm your father, where's my honor? And if I be your master, where's my fear? Where's
exactly.
my reverence?
Exactly.
Comparing again right here how these sons honor their father. But
exactly.
the Most High, that's what I keep emphasizing. The Almighty, the Most High God. I have to ask us a question, where is my honor?
So the parallel is, right, father and son, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
This kills the whole concept of Christianity where John, 3:16? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Oh, no. Oh, no. You got to go back to the book of Jeremiah where Yah's comparing the sons, the Rechabites, who were dedicated to their fathers, in comparison with the nation of Israel, who's supposed to be his son. Right?
Uh-huh.
Not just one man. So Yah is seeking the loyalty not from one man, but from the nation. Because he ain't
exactly.
talking about Jesus when he's talking about the disloyalty of his son, right?
Right.
According to Christianity, Jesus wasn't disloyal to the Most High. Matter of fact, he's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost all in one. How could he be disloyal to himself? But Yah is speaking about the disloyalty of his son compared to the Rechabites, who are loyal and dedicated to the vow that their father made.
And let me say this for clarification. Cottrell is not talking about the Rockefellers, okay? All right?
That's our brother.
Yeah.
And the Most High said about our brother that he would dwell in the fat places of the earth. So that's why Rockefeller is where he is.
Exactly. In 17, he said, therefore, thus said Yah Elohim of hosts, Elohim of Israel. Behold, I will bring on Yehuda and all the inhabitants, consequences and repercussions of Yehuda, all to doom because of that, not obeying me, not heeding my word, not taking my counsel, not amending your ways, I pronounced against them because I've spoken them to them. But they
So Yamsu, my book reads different.
Mm-hmm. Read your
You know what the Most High says in my book?
What does the Most High say in your book?
He says, therefore, Elohim of armies, Elohim of Yisrael says, behold, I will bring on Yehuda and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them.
And certainly that's what we're getting.
Because I have spoken to them, but they have not heard. Just like now, y'all speaking. Well, are we listening? Are we hearing? Because his word is on paper. Are you seeking him? Are you trying to find out what his plan is? Because y'all are speaking, like he said, the former prophets. I sent to y'all. He ain't just talking about Moses. He's talking about all the prophets that he sent to the nation of Israel. And we should be studying how many of them? How many of the prophets should we be studying? How many should we be studying? How many should
every
we be studying?
Every last
what?
One. Every
if you ain't studying all of them, then you're falling what? You're falling short. You're falling short.
You're falling
Israel
back
falls up. Short.
Because
we don't want to hear the words of the former prophets. And the words of the former prophets are on paper now. You have no excuse, Israel. You have no excuse. Jeremiah is there. Isaiah is there. Malachi is there. Zechariah, Zephaniah. They're all right there. The former prophets that y'all speaks of, guess what? They're right in front of our face. You have no excuse.
Not at all. It's obedience.
Right.
And that's what Yah says. We don't listen. We like
and
we worse than the Rechabites who listen to their father. Us, on the other hand, we have the Almighty Creator of the universe who proclaims that he's our father and we ain't paying no attention to him. Not none of his words, not none of his plan, not none of his instructions or commands. Focus on Judaism, Christianity, Islam, we don't forget the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because the Queen of England don't talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, although she proclaims herself from the house of Judah. She don't still talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, does she?
Not that I heard. But the last
but
part of
that. You Judah, right? Okay.
But that's why it's so important, Moray. Again, you know, the most dangerous thing in the world is the lie. The lie is the most dangerous thing in the world. And the reason why, because the lie harbors deception. And it's the deception that we have been sold a bill of goods, that we're so locked into the lie, Judaism, Judah, Jews, that we don't even know to stand on our truth to expose the lie. We keep trying to justify the lie, but we can't. The only way we're going to bring some understanding forth is to undress the well-dressed lie with our naked, unadulterated truth. There's no tribe called Judah, so she's not going to call on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Just like the Jews, they don't call on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They call on Hashem. And they use the Talmud more than anything else. But they give a facade to the world that they're the people of this book. And the reason why they don't spill the lie instead of coming forth boldly with our truth.
Well, Ima, I agree with you in regards to some of us. But in regards to some of us, we don't subscribe to that. And you don't, Patria don't, Aviat doesn't. So Shehudi does it, and certainly I do, and many, many more, because we're not trying to be a byproduct of Judaism, because we know who we are. I don't use them as a springboard for anything.
That's so true, Young Sue, but you know what the issue is, and we got to get real here. We have got to stop. This is not about a me, mine, I. This is about our people. Our nation, and far too many of us, maybe it's a few of them, one over here, two over there, but for the whole, you don't hear our people standing up for identifying themselves as a Yehudite. I'm a black Jew. That's what they say.
Exactly. Just like feminine
so,
Jew.
So, let me throw this at y'all, because we should not be proud of Judah, should we? According to the history that we're reading,
exactly.
It's Judah, Yehuda, the kings of Yehuda, King Zedekiah, and all the other kings that preceded him is the reason we're in captivity. King Solomon, the kings of Yehuda, you should be ashamed. Yah said, Yehuda, you did worse than your sister, Israel. You did worse. So you're so proud. You're walking around like you're the Lion of Judah. No, we're the sheep, the lost sheep. That's what we are. Stop throwing up your lion's paw. Only the king throw up the lion's paw, right? So we walk around talking about we Judah. Yeah, you the lost sheep of Yehuda. Yehuda is worse than Israel. That's what he said, because you saw the example of what I did to Israel. What you did worse, Yehuda, you did worse. That's why the whole nation was exiled from the land, right? The kings of Yehuda was the last stronghold. They had the temple. They had the priests. But y'all fumbled that. And you had the example before you. Yeah, all right. Israel broke off. They had kings. And you see what Yah did to them. He sent them into Samaria. Sent them into Assyria. And you thought you was going to get away doing the same thing they did. And even worse. Yehuda. That's why we have to apologize. Do we know the kings, the names of the kings that we have to apologize for? You ask Israel, who's the last king of Israel? They don't know. And we have to apologize for what King Zedekiah did.
Mm-hmm.
And the kings of Israel did. And all the unrighteous kings of Yehuda did. Because there was far more many unrighteous kings than there were righteous kings. You can't even name the righteous kings of Yehuda or Israel. So we have to study our history. You have to know our history. Why is Yah asking us to apologize for what your fathers did? You got to know. You apologize for no reason. You don't even know what they did because you don't know your history. But you claiming Yehuda. You the Lion of Yehuda. No, you the sheep of Yehuda. Right? Yah got to be our shepherd. That's what King David said. if King David is the Lion of Yehuda, and he said, Yah is my shepherd, he's not looking at himself as a lion, is he? So people better wake up, because Yah is our shepherd. He's our father, our king, our husband, and everything he proclaims himself to be, our inheritance. And if we don't get these codes right, you're not going to make it past Sheol, because Yah is going to destroy the wicked. He said, all those who have forgotten me, I'm going to tear you in pieces. He don't want Yah to tear you in pieces, do you?
And you know, the more I'm listening to your program and the more I'm studying this word, it's really begin to sink in when Yah says in Torah, you all need to acknowledge what you've done. And
what
you need to accept the responsibility of this punishment that I put upon you.
And what is that? Do we know?
I know.
We're supposed to know. If we knew our history, our nation, who we are, where we've been, and where we're going. Right? We know where we've been. If you're studying your history, our kings were terrible. Our people were terrible. You mean you were sacrificing your children in the temple to false gods? Really? That's what our forefathers did? We don't do that in church today, but... the our forefathers were doing, sacrificing their children in the temple, Imam. Come on now. We have a lot to apologize for.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? We're doing the same thing today. We send our children, get them baptized at 3, 4, 5 years old. Baptized for what?
They got you beat, Imam. They take them to the Roman Catholic Church, sprinkle a little water on when they're a baby. Okay?
And like I said, the vaccine. The vaccine is a sacrifice. You giving your children up to people that do syphilis experiments on our men, right? They did vaginal experience on our women. They shoot our young children up with ADT vaccines or inoculation, and then you're going to give them over to the vaccine? Really? And you don't think your breast milk is better than that? Any vaccine. Oh. Most likely your breast milk to immunize your children from all the diseases that your body fights.
I was just getting ready to speak on that. That's another thing. The Almighty gave us nourishment for our children when we bring them into the world. But instead, the Almighty, affiliated with the Almighty, gave my wine to your mother. They tell us to dry up our milk. Think about that. When you're in the hospital, they come and ask you if you want a shot so that you can dry up your milk, and then they tell you what formula to put your baby on. Huh?
I didn't know they did it that way, Ima. I didn't know they had like shots that dry up your milk. They got shots that dry up your milk.
Yeah, but they give you a shot to dry your milk up.
So women wonder why they get breast cancer.
Yeah. Well, look here, Ima, Adora, and Kadria, we'd love to hear more. We got to move on. Appreciate that. But look here, because Kadria has a very lengthy chapter in the Psalms, and I want to give adequate time for that. So in conclusion,
praise Yah.
Praise Yah. And at the end of that verse, it's very important. I've called to them, but they have not answered. They have not responded. So what we do, when we do on the Real Talk, the Real People Show, you're not responding to us.
We're putting out the call that Yah's putting out. Echoing the call that Yah's putting out.
So if you're not responding, we don't take it personally. We know who you're not responding to because you don't study the Most High. And Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, because of their commitment and their respect and their humility, thus said Yah of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab, your father, and kept all his precepts and done according to all he commanded you, Therefore, thus said Yah of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not lack a man to stand before me forever because of your loyalty, because of your keeping your vows, not you individual, but you as a family in the nation, the whole family, the women, the sons, the wives, and so on and so forth, because you have honored your vow before me. You are men and women of integrity. I like that. Although they didn't do the same for me, I respect the fact y'all showed loyalty to one another. They're missing a vital point here. You show loyalty to your household, your historical household, and not one of you went against the grain. Well, we do that every day of the week now, unfortunately.
Praise God. That's his holy name.
You better believe it, Ima. You better believe it. So, Ima, Gotrail, Sister Udi and Sister Abby, y'all have the mics. Take as much time as you want to, but don't take too much time. Cottrell's got a Lindsay study. Yehudi, Avia, do I have to find you? You know we go in the chat sometimes. We love the Lord, the Most High, the Elohim, the Lord, according to English.
You talk about
Take
much time you need, but don't take too much.
Love it. We digress sometimes, so just say we off the reservation, folks. Let's keep it up.
That's right.
All right, y'all. May the Most High bless you. Y'all have the mics.
So in brief, I just want to say that the Most High loves those that keep their vows. As a matter of fact, if the fact that they made a vow, the Rechabites, the Most High made a vow. He said, therefore, Yahweh of armies, the Elohim of Israel says, Yonadab, the son of Rechab, will not like a man to stand before me, and it was that word, forever. How long is forever, Yamsu?
Forever, ever, and ever. Forever.
But it also shows, yes, forever never ends, right? So the fact that these men, the sons of Rechab, they're probably in captivity too, right?
Yes, sir.
And they don't know this vow that their father made, do they?
Nope.
Because we all done lost the knowledge of self.
Exactly.
So when Yah says that Rechab would not like a man to stand before me forever, this is a covenant that Yah has to reestablish with the family of Rechab. Uh-huh. Like he established it with King David, like he established it with the Levites, the house of Aaron, with the nation of Israel. The Most High is promising the Rechabites, no matter what we've gone through, you're going to have a man to stand before me forever. But our nation put a blot on the Rechabites because they went into captivity just like everybody else.
Exactly.
Even to their own hurt. That's what we read, right? And this vow that these Rechabites made, they made it to their own hurt, but they stood by it. And y'all favored them. And he's saying the whole nation should be like the Rechabites. You ask them, like, who are the Rechabites? They probably won't even know who you're talking about because we don't study. We don't read.
They only do what Isaiah 58 chapter speaks about. We love to study so we can debate all day. Not study, but just looking at need to see what we can debate about. Fight with the fist of wickedness. You know, the Almighty is doing what he said he was going to do. And we don't really recognize it. And if even in this chapter, as we're reading, you can see where the Almighty is saying, listen to him, his voice.
Amen.
How are we supposed to listen to his voice? And the reason that's so important is because, as it is stated in the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy, these last days, those that return to Yah with all their heart, all of their soul, and are obedient to his voice. Well, the Almighty says again that in that day I will plead with you face to face in the wilderness of the people, as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. What exactly does that mean? Yah is pleading now with his people. How do you know that? Because it says in Ezekiel, the third chapter, go get thee to the children of the captivity. And thus shall you say, thus says Yahuwah. Yah is speaking through his people, such as servants as yourself, that's on this program every day, reading his word, so that the people can hear. As he said, I sent forth my word through the spirit of the former prophets. Turn your back. Stop up your ears. Shrug your shoulders. And you wouldn't listen. Our whole issue is listening to our lending our ear to hear. Because we've been fed a Hollywood syndrome about the Most High, thinking he's going to come down and ride on the cloud and come down and he's going to speak to us, stand on the mountaintop and speak to us again. Huh? But we forgot our father said, what happened when he spoke more, right?
They didn't want to hear it anymore, Ima.
They didn't want to hear this. So the Almighty says, well, did they speak? From henceforth, I'll speak through my servants, the prophets. That's why you just cannot stop at Torah, the first five books. You've got to see what Yah spoke through the prophets.
And Yah showed his mercy and not speaking to us in that same manner again, right?
Absolutely.
We asked for it, and we asked him not to do it again. And he said, all right, I'm not going to do it again because I know it'll kill you if I speak to you again in the same manner, Israel. Because I know you're harder to step back in. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to show you mercy, and I'm going to show you my prophets. But you better listen to them because it's going to be the same thing.
And that's the difference, again, when you go to the prophets, it begins with thus. They always begin with what? Thus saith Yah. Whereas in the new book, you heard it said in the days of old, but I say unto you. Huh?
That sounds like it's turning to the right to me, Ma. Turn it to the right.
Absolutely. Took on something new. To go add something to the word of your God. But as it says here, the Rechabites, they listen to their father. And you know what else that shows, Moray? It shows respect. It shows love. Honor. They honor their father's words.
Dedication and devotion.
Yes.
Commitment
yes.
to a vow that they made. Even to their hurt. Because, you know, these Rechabites, they're watching everybody else drink and party on all the feast days, all the festivals. But guess what? They can't do it.
No,
no matter what.
Not only that, it shows the seriousness of making a vow. Today, hey, we just make a vow and it's one in one breath and the next breath we done went on to something else.
So the vow that the Most High is trying to explain to us in this chapter is a vow between father and son. Because what did
yes.
he say? Tell Pharaoh that my son go, that he may what? Serve me. And a son
uh-huh.
is supposed to do what? Serve his father. That's the contract.
Yeah.
That's the covenant. That's everlasting. Yah is our father, and we are his firstborn son. And all the blessings go to the firstborn son. The firstborn son follows the codification. Unfortunately, we're firstborn sons that don't follow the codification. If you look at Ishmael, he perceives himself as the firstborn son of Abraham, and he conducts himself in that manner. It's like Esau. He perceives himself as that firstborn son, and he conducts himself in that manner, even though those blessings don't belong to them. We Israel, we're supposed to be conducting ourselves like the firstborn son of Yah, but we don't, because we don't keep our covenant. We don't keep the oath of our fathers, because our fathers made that oath, didn't they, at Mount Sinai
yeah.
when Yah spoke to them. So like the Rechabites, we're supposed to keep the covenant that our fathers made when they asked Yah to speak to them. He spoke to them, They said they would keep it, but they didn't.
You know, it, in reading this too, can't you feel the hurt that Yah is feeling, expressing here? Since
that's why
they
call Jeremiah.
They honor their father. They honor their father. But
they
oh,
called Jeremiah.
What happened to my son?
They called Jeremiah the weeping prophet, but he's expressing the sorrow of our Creator and how we conduct ourselves. It's not Jeremiah who's crying, it's Yah who's crying.
That's what I'm saying. Listen,
exactly.
I want to read 13 and 14 again. But Almighty says, thus said Yahuwah Sabaoth, the Elohim of Israel, go and tell the men of Yehuda and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instructions to listen to my words, said Yah, the words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine or perform. But until this day, they drink none but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but you listen not unto me. I have sent also unto you all of my servants, the prophets, rising up early. And you notice, sent my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and you shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and your fathers. But you did not incline your ear, nor have you listened to me. Huh?
Well, it shows the uniformity of the prophets, doesn't it? Because they all got
yes.
the same message, don't they? The message
yes.
was the same. The message was simple. And none of them talked about doing Torah. Just listen to me. Follow my commands. Because they had the ability to do the Torah, but they wasn't doing that. And in fact, they wasn't doing the Torah. Now, these are the commands that I'm giving you by way of Jeremiah, my prophet. Are you listening to him? Because now, you have to rectify the situation. You have to turn from your evil ways, which you're not doing. And that's the only way you're going to get salvation. And it's not just Jeremiah who told you that. It was the prophet Isaiah, Nehemiah, Ezra. All the prophets that I sent tell you the same thing, Israel. And he's telling us the same thing today. We are the proverbial son that refuses. You got a son, right? You're trying to give him good instructions. You're trying to show him the way. You're trying to make the best path for his life. But he went to run out in the street with his friends. And his friends ain't to no good. What do you do with a son like that who's not listening to you, but he'd rather listen to his friends?
You have to let him go.
Praise y'all.
So that's us. We'd rather listen to our friends, most I call them our lovers, than listen to the Creator who's our Father. As for me and my house, we listen to our Father. And Christians, they talk about our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. They're not listening to the Father.
Not at all.
No.
You can't even
Yah
take
is the father
word
of
the
all
creator.
Mankind.
You can't even take the word of the Creator up into these temples. Why is that? You can't even take his name up in there. Why is that?
Because we're not dedicated, devoted, committed to the vows of our fathers. Did our fathers commit themselves to Yah? Yes, they did.
With their mouth.
Yes, our fathers committed themselves to Yah, and we all should be like the Rechabites. We're going to honor the vows of our fathers. But because our fathers broke the vows, we have to apologize for them to you, Yah. Our fathers broke the vows. Therefore, we in a situation where we are breaking our vows to you. So we apologize for what our fathers did to put us in a situation because they broke their vows. And we here to stand up loyally for the vows that our fathers made.
We have to repair that breach.
And our, our fathers, right, the Judah kings, they talking about the Rechabites, they should, the Most High should have brought up King David, right? You're not loyal to your father, King David, kings of Judah, or you kings of Yehuda. You're not loyal to your father, who I made a covenant with, that his throne will be established forever, much less the Rechabites. Why aren't the kings of King, why aren't the sons of King David loyal to what their father, King David, vowed to the Most High?
Because the Israelites were Jews.
No, there was no Jews at that time. We're talking about the kings of Israel, the descendants of King David.
Well, they was in there with somebody. It wasn't King David.
His sons weren't loyal to the vows he swore, like the Rechabites were loyal to the vow their fathers swore. That's what I'm saying. So Rechab, he wasn't a king, but he made sure his sons followed his vow, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
How much more important was it for the sons of King David to do the same thing?
Well, it was important, and that's why the all, but, you know, the Almighty even gave him out. It's because he killed, that proverbial word, if. And even when Shlomo was, as the Almighty says, if he keeps my ways, if he, and which he didn't, and most of the kings of Israel did, of Yehuda or Israel didn't, you see. But, you know,
there shouldn't have been no kings of Israel. There should not have been one king of Israel. None.
But I want to say this in my close, you know, and I'm gonna let the other sisters speak. But and if we're looking at this, the Almighty is really talking about His words, and how we haven't obeyed His word. We've turned a deaf ear to His word, and as I said, we have to peel back all the layers of the lies and expose the unadulterated naked truth. And as I stated earlier, can't even take the word or the name of the Almighty up in these temples today. And I asked the question, why? Why is that? Well, the new book tells you why you can't do that, because it says that Jesus have sent his angel, not the Creator's angels, but his angel, to testify of him in the churches. That's Lucifer's domain. That's why you can't take Yah up in there. Yah said he chose for his name to be in Jerusalem. That's where he chose to make his, for his glory to reside. Not in the churches. But the only way we're going to come to understand the true word about God, we've got to peel back all these layers and expose the truth. Every word that Yah spoke, it's important. We've got to go to and really meditate, study on his every word. Then we can see why all of the new book, the deception, and the all is how subtle it is. All the lies and the misteaching and the misinformation, all was conjured up to keep Israel cut off from being a nation. That's why the only way that we can return, we've got to go back, expose the lies, and exalt our truth. And our truth is the word of our God.
Hallelujah. And we give thanks to the Most High for giving us these platforms to express his word, his truth, to our people so they can hear. And he gives us the ability to do this under no do rest. So
Hallelujah.
The Most High has made it abundantly clear that his word would be increased, knowledge would be increased in the end of days, so we don't have an excuse not to seek him out. It's unfortunate that people know more about us than we know about ourselves. It's unfortunate that our people ain't trying to find out about themselves. They're satisfied with being African American, Black, Negro, and colored, or Baptist, Christian, AME, Zion, Jehovah's Witness, and Muslim. So we have solved, the Most High solved for us, the question of who we are. And the enlightenment that he brings us
is so refreshing in the midst of the oppression, the curse, all the things that the nation of Israel has in their way. The Most High shows us the pathway, and he shows us the light at the end of the tunnel.
I can say this, and I'm not an educated woman. I'm not an educated woman at all. And yet and still, when the Almighty Spirit pricked my spirit, I struggled with everything I had. And even going from church to church, couldn't find him there, but I kept coming home praying and trying to read the book until he finally opened my eyes to and my understanding. And I'm saying that for all of those in the same condition as the rest of our people, when I read again, started trying to read the Bible, it didn't make sense to me. I didn't understand nothing it was talking about. But I kept on trying. I kept on seeking our God. And I'm saying the same thing with our people out here. If you're truly seeking God, truly seeking Yah, you will find him. But you've got to seek him with all of your heart, all of your soul. You've got to let go of everything that you have picked up along the way that you have considered to be true, embrace it as being true, all the misteachings. When you finally humble yourself and go before Yah as an empty vessel, saying, Father, here I am. I just need you. Help me. Father, help me. Forgive me. And help me to understand. I'm telling you, he'll answer your prayer. But you've got to go before him. You've got to seek him and let him know how much you love him. The more you seek him, it's because the more you love him, and you'll find him. And when you find him, guess what? You'll love him even more. Nobody.
Yes, sir.
Again. Thank you for allowing me to speak, young sir.
No problem, Ima. No problem.
So King David teaches us how to walk with Yah, how to rely on Yah, how to trust in Yah, how Yah is our refuge, our high tower, our first line of defense, our king, King David. People wonder, oh, it's about King David and Goliath, David and Goliath. They even say King David, David and Goliath. But what gave King David his strength? And he reveals it. He's like, it wasn't my own strength. I rely, I trust, I depend. I wasn't taking counsel from nobody else. I let Yah guide my step. Yah was my shepherd. He led me through the valley of the shadow of death. I feared no evil because I knew he was with me. This is how this great man was so great. And we need to pick up on that. Because he tells us that Yah delivers you out of how many troubles? All of our troubles, Israel. You just got to be loyal to him, faithful to him, dedicated to him, committed to him. Commit yourself to the Most High. Because we are his servants, we are his saints. So, we in Psalm 35, right?
Yeah.
All praise, honor, and glory to our King, the creator of all things and everything. He made the heavens and the earth, and animals, and sea creatures, and fowls that fly in the air. He made mankind to walk upon the face of the earth. He said, thus you are, and thus you shall return. Mm-hmm. Yah is our mm-hmm. Father. And King David knew that, and he wanted to have a solid relationship with our Creator. He wasn't worried about people. He wasn't worried about the people around him, his wife, his mother, his father, his sister, his brother, his army. No, his main concern was his relationship with Yah, right? If the king is good enough for the king, we say, mold yourself, guide yourself by the way King David was guided. He leaves us plenty of instruction in the way to do that. So all honor, praise, glory to the Most High Yah, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who created our king, King David, who left us with so much wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Psalms 35, a song, a psalm by our King, King David. This is a prayer, right, that we should all be saying, that we should all know by heart. Are we being contended with? Are these adversaries and oppressors afflicting us? So this is the type of prayer we should say. Contend, Yah, with those who contend with me. Contend, Yah, with those who contend with us. Fight against those who fight against me. Yes, Yah, fight against those who fight against us. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Yes, Yah, take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for the help of the nation of Israel. We're calling upon you. Brandish spear and buckler, those who pursue me. Yeah, there's plenty of people who are pursuing us. Every day they shoot us down in the street, Yah, and you see it. King David focuses on his what? Not his life, but his soul. Tell my soul. What does King David want Yah to tell his soul? I, Yah, am your salvation. Don't we want Yah to say that to our souls? Okay, Yah might have missed that. That those who seek after my soul be disappointed and brought to dishonor. That those who plot my ruin be turned back and confounded. Are there people out here who are plotting our ruin, who seek to disappoint our souls and dishonor us? Oh, yeah. Let them be as chaff before the wind. Yah's angels, and Iman Hador spoke about the angels. What do the angels do? Yah's angels driving them on. Okay. JC might got his angels, but Yah got his angels too. Let Yah's angels drive them on, which they do. That's why we're not on plantations picking cotton from can't see sun up to can't see sun down. The angels chase presses to the degree we're sitting at computers and iPhones and iPads and watching smart TVs. Let their way be dark and slippery, which we see. Republican Party, Democratic Party, their ways are dark and slippery. Trust me. Yah's angels pursuing them. That's what's really happening. Most of our angels are pursuing our oppressors, in case you didn't know. For without cause, they have hidden their net in a pit for me. And don't these people have nets and pits for us? Oh, yeah. Don't you know? All kind of traps for our young people, our old people, everybody. Without cause, they have dug a pit for our soul. Is that true about America? Has universal white racist supremacy try to take our souls off this planet? Oh, yeah. Let destruction come on him unawares. Yes, that's why you have mass shootings in America, because they are at war with Yah's people. Yah going to put on them what they deserve. Let his net that he has hidden catch himself. Yeah, you got 400 million guns in America, and who you think you're going to use it against? Black people that you call? Black people are the Most High's chosen ones. He calls us his saints. He calls us his firstborn son. And you think your net is going to catch us? Oh, no. You're going to fall into your own net. Let it fall into that destruction. Because that's what you're preparing for yourself, universal white racist supremacy. Yeah, we're going to replace you, sure. My soul shall be joyful in Yah. Raise your hand if your Yah is going to be, your soul going to be joyful in Yah. Because that's what we're trying to preserve now, right? Our souls, our soul. King David is focused on his soul. And he says, my soul will be joyful in Yah. It shall rejoice in his salvation when it comes. Right? Yah's salvation didn't come in King David's time, did it? Salvation did not come in King David's time. How do we know? Because it hasn't come in our time. All right? But King David said, my soul shall rejoice in Yah's salvation. Think about that. All my bones shall say, Yah, who is like unto you? Who delivers the poor from him that is stronger than him? Yes, the poor and the needy from him who robs him. And who's robbing us? Universal white racist supremacy of everything. I don't have to list it, do I? Unrighteousness, unrighteous witness, rise up. They ask me about things I do not know about. They reward me evil for good to the bereaving of my soul. And we saw it in our brother in Buffalo. We've been trying to be good to you. We loved you. We've forgiven you. We're trying to be good citizens.
but you're still trying to take our soul. But as for me, King David said, when they were sick, my enemies, guess what? Those who were trying to kill me, those who sought my soul, guess what I did? Clothing was sackcloth. Why are you wearing sackcloth, King David, when your enemies are trying to take your soul? I afflicted my soul with fasting. My prayer returned into my own bosom. I have behaved myself as though I had been my friend. It had been my friend or my brother. I bowed down, mourning, as one who mourns his mother. But in my adversity, they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. The attackers gathered themselves together against me, and I did not know it. They tore at me and did not cease. So King David is talking about his own people. We know that King Saul was after King David's life. And he prayed for them. He said, when they were sick, I put sackcloth on. I afflicted my soul with fasting. So he's talking about his own people. King Saul, probably in particular, my prayer returns to my own bosom. So he kept his own integrity, and he prayed for them, probably King Saul and Jonathan, as if they were my friend or my brother. I bowed down, mourning, as one who mourns his mother. But they didn't pray for me. They rejoiced and gathered themselves together and attacked me. They tore at me and did not cease. Like the profane mockers at a feast, they gnashed at their teeth at me. Yeah, how long will you look on? Rescue my soul from their destruction, my precious life from the lions. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among the people. So we know that King David's life was always in jeopardy, whether it be from King Saul or the Philistines or the Canaanites or the Hittites, the Perizzites. King David had many an enemy, but his trust was in Yah. Don't let those who are my enemies wrongfully rejoice over me. Neither let those who hate me without cause wink their eyes. But they don't speak peace, but they devise deceitful words against those who are quiet in the land. Yes, they open their mouths wide against me. They say, aha, aha, I have seen it. You have seen it? Yah, don't keep silent. Yah, don't be far from me. Wake up. Rise up to defend me, O my Elohim. My Yah, contend for me. Vindicate me, Yah, my Elohim, according to your righteousness. Don't let them gloat over me. Don't let them say in their heart, aha, this, that, the way we want it. This is the way we want it. Don't let them say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be disappointed and confounded together, who rejoice at my calamity. And King David could be praying for the nation, because his personal situation reflects our national situation. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves against me. Let those who favor my righteousness cause, let those who favor my righteous cause shout for joy and be glad. Standing up for a righteous cause, the righteous cause of our people, the righteous cause of our king, we should all be shouting for joy and we should be glad. Because Yah hears our voice. Yes. Let them say continually, may Yah be magnified. And why should Yah be magnified? Because people don't know who Yah is. Who's going to magnify Yah? Yah's people. That's how he gets his glory. So we need to be magnifying Yah. People magnify their deities, the Pope, the Queen, all kind of magnifications except for Yah. May Yah be magnified. Do we know what that means? We have to lift up his presence in the midst of us. We have to ask him to arise off his throne and defend our cause, as King David's plea is to him in his song. Who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant? So Yah, he's pleased when we prosper. But are we only going to prosper when we're loyal to him, when we obey him, when we follow his command? My tongue shall talk about your righteousness and about your praise all day long. And unfortunately, the Blog Talk, Real Talk, for Real People show is only 2 hours long, the most. So we can't talk about Yah or praise him. What? All day long.
So you know where King David got his strength? And the praise of Yah should be in your mouth all day long, 24/7, 365. Your creator, he's there like the air you breathe. So give him praise. He's in your face. He wants you to find out who he is. So seek him with all your heart, soul, and might, and he will magnify himself in your life. And we want Yah magnified in our life. So may Yah be magnified. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise Yah. Iman Dora, your commentary.
I said I was going to say, Eric, thank you for allowing me to speak. Hallelujah.
Okay.
I'll give my time over to the other two sisters.
Thank you very much, Sister. Praise Yah. I'm good.
Listening.
Julie.
Yes.
You're coming.
I'm thankful. Yes, I'm thankful to the Most High. This has been very enlightening, and I want to say a prayer for all of us. And my heart is with Kador. You be safe, stay healthy. We need you, Sister Zion. We need you. So with all, good night and bless you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I would just simply say, in reference to this beautiful song, if the Most High says, King David is a man after my own heart, what should that suggest and prayer and apply to you? Follow his lead. When you're having personal problems, you're having people after you, talking about you and so on and so forth, don't have a party. Don't go out and threaten them folks out to do something to that B or that N. Hold yourself before the Most High. Ask the Most High to handle your problems and humble yourself and keep it moving. Trust in the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And let him put in the work. He don't mind putting in work for you, but you got to work it the right way. You can't work it any kind of way. You can't go out there threatening and cussing and fussing, going shooting up folks' houses and folks' houses, shooting up children and old folks and whatnot. King David wouldn't have did that. Why are you doing it? Name calling folk and whatnot. King David didn't do that. Why are you doing it?
Mm-hmm.
That ain't going to work for you. Go ahead.
I like to say this, Yamsun.
Yes.
King David, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the songs and the songs that we're reading, right?
Right.
Put more material down than the brother Rakab for the Rakabites.
Right.
All the brother did was make a vow to, yeah, we ain't drinking wine. We're not living in the city. We're going to live in tents.
Right.
And his family kept that vow, would they say, forever. Here
right.
it is. We got a king like King David, right? And his writings inspire not only it should have inspired his sons, because
sure.
he made vows in these songs. But his vows and his songs and his wisdom in these songs should have inspired every single descendant of his that was a king sitting on his throne.
Exactly.
If they had kept what King David put down, like the sons of Rakab did for their father, the kings of Judah will be ruling today.
Mm-hmm. You know what also with songs remind me of? It's
mm-hmm.
like the wicked, like they're saying, what the wicked is making plans for us, what they're doing and setting up things for our downfall. That's just like, and Yasu, you said, don't go out cursing them out or people messing with you, don't bother with them. That's exactly why I just pray to Yah. Every time somebody come towards me that seems out of place, I completely ignore them. I do not indulge with those type of people. I don't play games with people, and I don't want to be bothered with them, so I just cut them out. But what I'm really going to say is that in here, it also is like laying out that where he's praying, it's like he's saying, let the wicked has made a trap for him, so let them fall in their own trap. And that's what's going to come to that, going to happen anyway.
And the thing is,
they're falling in their own trap.
King David left his wisdom for all his sons. And guess what they did with it? They pushed it aside.
Mm-hmm.
If we reading these writings of King David, I'm sure all the kings that came after King David for the house of Judah had these same writings of their father, King David. But they pushed it aside. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. they were not like the sons of Rahab, who kept the vows of their father. If the kings of Judah, the sons of King David, had kept the teachings of their father, King David, they would be on the throne today.
Mm-hmm.
So King David was concerned about his sons. He taught his sons diligently because he wrote it down, and all he had to do was study it. But his inspiration is for all of Israel, King David. That's why we read it. That's why we inspire it. And we should get spiritual strength from it because it teaches us our connection with the Most High, because it shows us where he got his power source from.
Yeah.
If you're relying on anything else other than what he's talking about, you're in trouble. So he brings it from another perspective. Right? You never hear King David talking about Moses and the law. He talks about his actual life living, his daily experience in living with the Most High. Well, praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Israel. I hear crickets. Where you at, Yamsu?
I'm just listening, brother. I'm just listening.
Yeah, man.
Me too.
Yeah, we wouldn't be in a predicament if the kings of Judah, sons of King David, had to follow to the hilt like the sons of Rahab did their father.
True.
The nation wouldn't split, and we wouldn't be where we are today.
Exactly. I thought Ema had something to say. I guess she resting now. All right, y'all.
No. I'm listening, darling.
Okay.
I'm speechless. I'm just speechless. But I'll get over it. I'll get over it. I guess because I love y'all so much, and I love our people so much, and I know what the end result is going to be. It's just to get through this period. See, the suffering of our people, yet our remedy is just so simple. And we keep running in every direction but to where we need to go to alleviate the suffering and the killing of our children. When does it stop? What is it going to take, Israel? You know, I just can't get that picture out of my mind. They and all the fools that they gave for this year of Jubilee, all the preparations that took place to make it come about. As far as the eye can see, and you can see us dotted all through the crowd. You have 100 people. This is in honor and an exaltation of an all white woman.
And you notice the raw God had their afros on today, too.
Yeah.
Why y'all got afros?
Subliminal messaging. We don't know how much we're being fed. You know, through that process, there's much truth that's been revealed to us, but because we have locked in to the teachings of the other nations,
We don't even recognize our own truth. We are so vested in the lie. You see.
Well,
why does Yah say about the nation? They in an uproar because they don't want to follow Yah or Yah's anointing. Got to know that. Why are the nations in an uproar? Why are they so in opposition to the Most High? Okay, better find out where the nations got their roots started from. It started at the Tower of Babel when they were rebelling against God. Are you trying to follow the nations who still to this day rebel against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Go ahead with yourself. Run with them.
Rahima and Cartrell and Sister Yehudi, Sister Abia. I didn't understand what all the boo was when Diana died. You know, so I'm not too concerned about. I didn't even know she had a little thingy over there. And I would
beg her. Well, that's the same. They just said, another human being, two legs and 2 feet to walk, just like the rest of us. Except for they still
and
like
said she was our help. That said she was our
help. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
She went buck wild after him.
Not only that, but that whole royal palace thing and royalty, what did one of them princes do with Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein? They show him sitting on the porch of the queen's cabin, him and his girlfriend, Maxwell. They sitting on the queen's cabin.
Yeah. What's
Jeffrey Epstein doing sitting in the queen's cabin?
You know how it is when they're playing around.
When that summer place, when that summer council caught on fire and they had all of those expensive paintings to be damaged, they passed that cost on to the poor. The poor paid to have those paintings restored. Mm-hmm. And what makes her royal? What do we ever think about that? What makes her royal?
Nothing.
Universal white race supremacy.
That's their dream. They dream to be us, the chosen. But they're not calling on the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, nor the God of Jacob. Who the Queen of England call on? She called on the Pope, don't she?
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she calling on the Pope, she calling on JC.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The Church of England.
And where does her wealth stem from? Didn't she rob Africa and Caribbean and
India?
Everybody.
Yeah, they robbed everybody.
They said at one time the sun never set on Great Britain because of her vast holdings.
Well, the Pope got more holdings than her.
Yeah.
They're the biggest thieves. They got an archive that's 50 miles long based on artifacts that they stolen from other nations. 50 miles long? Really?
Mm-hmm.
You ain't getting any of the secret either.
No.
And some of the artifacts belong to us, don't they?
Exactly.
They belong to our nation.
During the time of Princess Diana, to show you how lost we are, I read an article where one of the black churches sent a $500,000 donation over there because of her death.
And won't send a dollar over here for nobody.
Won't send a dollar to your own people.
We're crazy as we want to be.
Crazy as we want to be. And I saw another article where another black church sent $1,500,000 to the Jews saying that they're God's chosen people and we're supposed to support them. Woo.
It wouldn't come as a shock to me.
$1,500,000 to the Jews.
Imagine, Sister Ema, you know, I used to deal with that church, like I said, that takes stuff. I remember the time I fell on hard times, and I had my children were small. I ran out of food. I went to the church to get some help, and they sent me out of there quick, told me to go to the social service department after I had given them all my money. Well, I knew right then. I said, no, no. But when you said how they send the millions to somebody else.
But you know, the Most High said, put those tables on them, right? Because he says the wealth of nations are going to be brought up to the nation of Israel. The gates of Israel will never be closed because the wealth of nations will be coming to Israel. But they're going to pay their tribute to the Most High, Yah.
Mm-hmm.
And, what they've stolen, they've only stored up for the righteous.
Praise Yah.
And you know something, Murray, that's something that, again, we as a nation, now that we have begun, so we say, claim we have beginning to awaken, where's the outcry for our artifacts, our holy things? You know, as it states in Ezekiel, the 20th chapter, the Almighty says, when we return home with all of our holy things, where's the outcry for our holy relics?
We the only ones making that outcry, you know.
But instead, we going to ban what the Jews is hooking up.
Huh? And they're not making an outcry for those articles, are they?
No.
No.
Why not? If you're the people, you should have been got those articles back. So as you land foot in 1948, you want our stuff back if it's yours. No,
well,
but you're going to create something new.
Oh, and I just say this, that this for me, it dispels the lie that the Almighty gave the Jews our heritage to hold for us until we come out of captivity. And this is why, because there are certain things the Almighty wouldn't let them do. He didn't let them call themselves Israelites. That's why they call themselves Israelites. He didn't let them say that they're from the tribe of Yehuda. That's why they say they're from Judah. You see, he didn't let them say that they were Yehudites. That's why they said they Jews. The Almighty, there were certain things they could belong to us. And the Almighty wouldn't let them do that. That's why it's important that we stand up and take back our own truth.
To add to what you're saying, Ima, they don't say that they're Levites. Nor do they say that they're priests from the house of Aaron, which is why they don't ask for those artifacts back. Because they're wise enough to know the common man shouldn't be touching that stuff. And you're not even a common man in the nation of Israel. Much less an Israelite. An Israelite is not supposed to touch that stuff unless you're from the house of Aaron. Right? So they don't even ask for it because they know better. You want to build or rebuild the third temple, but you ain't asking for the artifacts back that belong in it, the ancient artifacts.
Mm-hmm. All right, y'all. We've raked over all the codes, so to speak. And it's very important. The Psalms, Jeremiah continues to be, the Psalm continues to be. And we're not giving you these studies for a warm, fuzzy feeling, so you feel good about yourself. We're giving you these studies so you can be informed and make the proper response to the Most High. Because as we always said, on Real Talk to Real People Show, everything in life is codified. And most importantly, your relationship with the great Almighty. Because he knew you before your even parents had any conception that you were about. We love you. May the Most High bless you and direct and order your steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding. You ain't cute. And it ain't working for you. Obey the Most High. Iba Hador, Cartrell, Sathabia. So, Shehudi, you want to say shalom and good night to the people?
Shalom,
yes, sir.
Family, and good night.
Yeah. Good, have a blessed.
I just had one more observation. Imagine if King Zedekiah had prayed this 35th Psalm for the Most High, which he was supposed to do because he's one of the sons of King David. But he did. So we pray that the Most High circumcise our heart to serve him in truth, and that in his love and favor, that he remembers us, that he remembers the covenant with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and forgives us for the things we've done, and give us awareness of the iniquities and transgressions that our fathers did so that we can apologize and ask for mercy for their souls and that Yah would save our souls because we're doing this, trying to repair the breach. So we ask Yah for enlightenment, that he would draw himself closer to us, that he would be found of us as we seek him.
Mm-hmm.
So praise Yah.
Hallelujah.
The most Hallelujah.
Praise Yah. We love y'all. Shalom. Oh. And good night.
Brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass, brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I made a mess of the life I had with you, in search of something new. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass.